Good morning. I want to greet each one of you in Jesus' name this morning. There, on July 11th, which was last month, there was a man by the name of August Adolphus Bush IV. He was a former CEO of the Anheuser-Busch Brewing Company, and he was arrested. Does anybody want to know what he was arrested for? Or does anybody want to guess what he was arrested for? Almost. What made you think that? Actually, he was arrested for trying to fly a helicopter while drunk, which is close. But the thing that I thought of that was interesting about that, I immediately, when I saw the headline that he was arrested, I thought, well, it just said former Bush, Anheuser-Busch CEO arrested for, I thought, immediately my mind went to that. And I think the reason for that is that he was associated with creating intoxicating fluids for people to inhale or to drink. But I had to think, in my devotions this past week, personal devotions here, I was reading, the thought was different fruits or different characteristics of God's people. But I thought we'd open our Bibles here, first of all, to John 15. We'll start with that. John 15, and I'll read the first, we're down through verse 17. John 15, 1 through 17. It says, I am the true vine, in verse 1, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends, if ye do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. These things I command you, that ye love one another. There's a lot of meaning packed in these verses here, and I know that I will not get it all out, will not extract all of it. But I'd like to look at some here today. It starts with a statement. It says, I am the true vine and my Father is the husbandman. It's a comparison to a vine or a tree. There's the trunk that's connected to the soil where nutrients and water come from. It also has the leaves where it absorbs sunshine and absorbs nutrients there too. But fruit is the sign of life. No farmer raises a crop just for the fun of planting a seed. And no orchard is good with only trees, or just trees and leaves. The fruit is the actual success of that tree. Unless it's an ornamental tree, but for a tree that is giving fruit, that is something that it's measured, the productiveness of that tree is measured by the fruit that's given there. An orchard's no good with only trees. If there's apple trees in the orchard, we expect apples to be there. If there's oak trees, you have acorns. But if you have a thorn tree, you're not going to expect apples or lemons off of that. You'll get thorns. A person claiming to be identified with Christ needs to show fruits of being like Christ. In verse 2 it says, every branch in me that beareth not fruit. You know, a branch that's connected to the trunk with no fruit is worthless. Even if there's leaves on the tree, even if there's leaves on the branch, if the gardener or the farmer comes out and there's an apple tree that has lots of apple tree branches poking out of that, and there's nice leaves on it, but no apples, over time that apple tree is worthless. Jesus is using this as an illustration here. Every branch that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. Every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it. So if you have a branch that has these leaves on it, and it has little apples, you have a whole bunch of little branches with little apples, the farmer is going to come and he's going to trim off most of the little branches with the little apples on it, so that the nutrients can go into the one or two branches that are left to make bigger apples. I have an apple tree at home. I had four. And the apple trees that I had, we had cedar trees around too, and the cedar trees, they put off this little pollen, or I don't know what it is, but it creates a rust that comes on the tree, on the leaves of it. And one of my apple trees was killed with, I believe it was that. It just, the leaves just fell off and never came back. Fell off in the middle of summer. And that, let's say an outside influence on that one came and took care of that. Another apple tree that I had last summer was very healthy, and me being an ignorant farmer that I am, I was wanting to keep the weeds down around it, and I sprayed Roundup around it, and I got way too much Roundup on it, and the healthy apple tree is not healthy anymore. And I'm not sure what happened to the other one. I think it had a bug or something, or maybe it was that rust in it too. But I have one tree left, and it looks... So far, it looks healthy, but there's no apples on it. So I think my orchard experiment might not be working. But how is it in our life? If we're connected to the vine, are we connected to the vine? In verse 3 here, or verse 4, it says, abide in me. What does it mean to abide in Christ? That word abide has the thought of dwelling or continuing, just being there, living there. Living in Christ is a mentality. It's a mentality that we have. It's a creed. It's a lifestyle. It's a thought. We immerse ourselves in Christ. It means giving ourselves over to Him. It means giving up our will for His, yielding our dreams and hopes and plans to His plan. It's putting God's kingdom first. It's denying ourselves and taking up the cross and following Christ. All of that has to do with abiding in Christ. It's living or dwelling in Christ. And we live in Christ. We do that, and He abides in us. He is the life that comes into this branch. He gives us the life that makes the leaves grow, the life that makes the fruit grow. With God, with Christ abiding and living in us, He gives power to overcome sin. His Holy Spirit guides and teaches us. Without being connected, without us abiding in the vine or in the trunk, and the life of the trunk abiding in us, it's dead. The branch cannot survive by itself. When you prune an apple tree, the clippings that you take off die. You might be able to put them in water and they'll grow again, I don't know, but the ones that you cut off, when they're severed from that trunk, they die. There's nothing left. The life is cut off of them. If there's a little apple on it, the little apple's going to die too. The leaves are going to die. If the life of the trunk does not live in the twig that's cut off, it's dead. The trunk can live without the branch, but the branch cannot live without the trunk. But with us, if we abide in Christ, if we live in Christ, and He lives in us, then we can bring forth fruit. Now, in verse 3, it says, ye are clean. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. You know, I had to think, when we planted the apple tree, it was clean. I mean, we made sure we put good soil in there. They had plenty of water. There was no blight, because these are healthy trees that we had just planted. There was healthy. They were clean. But bugs and blight are a threat. They're a constant threat to healthy branches. And I know that the apple trees don't go around and take care of themselves. But I'd like, for this illustration here, for us as branches, thinking of ourselves as branches connected to the trunk, through free will, we have a choice. We have a choice to be connected to the trunk. Because of that free will that God has given us, we can choose to be unconnected with it. We also have a responsibility to watch for bugs and blight, also known as worldliness, sin, even lukewarmness. Lukewarmness would be not abiding there, not living in Christ. In Matthew, well, I didn't look up this reference, but when it says, he that will follow me, let him take up his cross and deny himself. Self-denial and following Christ go hand in hand. When we give ourselves free rein and crowd Christ out, it cuts the life off at the trunk. There's no, that it's a way, when that separation starts coming in, it's like something sharp taking the bark back, an infection coming in, and that blight starting to work its way through the fruit. It doesn't, the fruit can't mature because there's a, something is hindering the life coming from the trunk to the fruit. We have to be on guard against infection. Anything that can infect the branch's connection to the trunk, we need to be on guard against. And that can be so many different practical things. For the parable of the sower is a good illustration also of especially the seed that's planted on good ground, on good soil. It has the right moisture, it has the right, everything is right, but it has other things that come up and choke it out. And that can be the same, we have to be on guard against that too. That's another alternate illustration there. Going down in verse 8 and 9, it says, "Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples." Bearing fruit is something that the Father wants. Jesus says it's God is glorified if you bear much fruit. "Because of this, ye shall be my disciples." Be like me, Jesus says. Be like me. "As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. As I have received," Jesus says, "I am the vine," or "I am the trunk. As I have received this love, I have loved you. I have extended that through the branches. Now you continue in my love." Keep it going. It also says, "Keep my commandments to abide in my love." So what is the commandment? To abide in his love. What is that commandment? Verse 10 says, "If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love. Ye shall live in my love. Even as I have kept my Father's commandments and live or abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you." That "remain" is also the same word as abide. "And that your joy might be full. And this is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. If you do that, then you will continue in my love." But this relationship here is not a law-based relationship. It's a friend-based relationship, which means we do it because we want to, not because we have to. "You are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth, from here on, I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you." I am extending this life that I get from my Father, I'm extending it to you. If you abide in me, if you live in me. A law-based relationship is to do this because we have to, and a friend-based relationship is to do this because we love him. We love Christ. We abide in Christ. We live in Christ. And because we live in Christ and we draw from the life that he gets from the Father, then the fruit that we give is fruit like Christ exemplified, like Christ shows. And if we live in Christ, what fruit should be expected? If you would turn to Colossians 3, we'll read verse 1, and then we'll drop down to verse 12 through 17. We'll go to Colossians 3, verse 1, and this is speaking to the chosen of God, it says, "If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God." If you be risen with Christ, if you have that life that Christ has, then seek those things which are above. Live in Christ. In verse 12 through 17, it says, "Put on, therefore, as the elect of God," or the chosen ones of God, holy and beloved, "bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him." So what fruit can be expected if we are like Christ? As the chosen of God, or as the called, the elect of God, the first one is to put on bowels of mercy. And you need a heart for others. Bowels of mercy, that's the inside, the inmost part of us. That's our inside. To have a heart of mercy, to be not a front, but a heart of mercy. A heart for others, especially the down and out ones, or the ones that are less fortunate, the ones that, for everybody, but as it applies to that. Be long-suffering. We need to be patient with others. You know, patient with people. And that is something that as a human being can be hard, especially when we have opportunity to exercise patience. Many times, it seems like. Put on bowels of mercy and long-suffering. Forbear and forgive. We heard about that in Sunday school a little bit this morning. The question was asked, if we forgive, I'm not sure quite how it was worded there, but forgiveness, does that mean that it wipes the slate clean to reenact the same offense again or something like that? Well, for marks of a Christian, forbearance and forgiveness. Forbearance, as I understand, it would be patient with the shortcomings of others, the perceived faults that we see. It's being accepting of other people as they are. You know, a lot of times we look at other people through an ideal lens. We look at other people like we wish they would be, and like we want to be, and we look at ourselves through the lens of, I'm human, I make mistakes, I give myself room. Forbearance is extending the same toleration, or the same, not toleration, but the same grace to other people that I would give to myself. And then forgiveness, we forgive wrongs and injustices. We forgive others. We need to forgive others like we want others to forgive us when we do wrong. Put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. Charity is like the oil that makes things work. It's giving, putting other people first. It's giving our putting other people ahead. It's love. and let the peace of God rule in your hearts. The peace of God rule. Be thankful. Being thankful is an attitude that is good to cultivate at a young age. For young children, teach them to say thank you and to be thankful. Even if we're just having spaghetti for supper when they thought we were going to have steak or something like that. Or, actually I like spaghetti, but I just use that as an example. But maybe, you know, be thankful for that we have food. Being thankful in every situation, and I speak this to myself, in every situation there is something to be thankful for. Even if our vehicle breaks down, well, let me say it like this. The other night I was in a hurry to go mow the yard. I just had a little bit of time. I had just a little bit of mowing to do, but I had just a little bit of time. And I went down to the shop, and somebody had left the mower key on, and my battery was dead. And it was parked way back in the corner, and I can't move this mower very well. And I tripped over some toy laying in the way. And anyway, by the time it was done, it was getting about dark, but we got it working. But I can be thankful I have a lawnmower. I can be thankful I have a lawnmower. I can be thankful that I had jumper cables, and I can be thankful that I had a vehicle. I can make this thing work. It wasn't more than a 20-minute inconvenience, but you know, it seems terribly bad when you're in a hurry. In every situation, there's something to be thankful for. Also, it says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Let the word of Christ occupy your life. Let it occupy your life richly. Feed on it. That is similar to us as branches with leaves absorbing the sunshine. You know, sunshine can give nutrients also. The word of Christ makes us clean. It takes the bugs away. It's like you said in John 15:3, now you are clean through the word which I have spoken to you. Let the word of Christ occupy your life richly. And do all in the name of the Lord, giving thanks to God. Do everything. As a Christian, do everything in the name of the Lord, giving thanks to God. I'd like to close with some verses in Ephesians here. Ephesians 3:17-21. But in this, I want this to be a challenge to us, to feed on God's word, to examine our life through, if it's possible, through the lens of how others see us. Do we have infection in our connection to the vine? Is there any bugs or any blockages that would block this life coming from the vine to us? The things that other people see, they can't see the life. They can't see the water and the nutrients that come from the trunk necessarily, but they can see the fruit. But I'd like for us to look in our own hearts, to think and to examine ourselves. And that's what I'd like to leave as a challenge today. But I'd like to close Ephesians 3:17-21. It says that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. The verse that caught my attention here was verse 17, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love. And I know that's somewhat of an incomplete thought, but the thought of rooted and grounded in love, the way we're rooted and grounded is by keeping that connection to the trunk. Christ is the trunk, and he passes what he gets from the Father to us. We continue in that love and pass it on. May God bless each one of you here. Let's kneel for prayer.